朋友们，大家好，今天是7月1号，星期三，欢迎收看《美国观察》。美国政府表示说，将停止向香港出口国防还有高科技产品。此外，对中国施加的高科技产品出口限制也将适用于香港。这一举措被认为是对中国强推港版国安法的回应。我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
由于无法区分美国对香港出口的防御设备以及军民两用技术是出口给了香港，还是落入中国解放军的手中，基于美国的国家安全，美国政府星期一宣布停止对香港出口这些设备和技术。美国国务卿蓬佩奥在声明中表示，中共决定剥夺香港的自由，迫使特朗普政府重新评估对香港的政策。随着北京推进国家安全法的通过，美国从这个星期开始停止出口美国生产的防御装备。美国还将采取措施，在国防以及两用技术上对香港实施与中国大陆相同的限制。美国商务部也在一份声明中说，商务部暂停了给予香港特殊待遇的规定，其中包括出口许可豁免。中国星期二通过港版的国安法，这距离中国人大代表首次审议这项法案还不到两个星期。这一速度表明，在去年抗议活动的冲击后，中国总书记习近平迫切要求加紧对香港的控制。此外，将通过立法的时间点选在7月1号之前，也相当具有政治的意味。因为过去香港在回归纪念日这一天，常常会爆发民主抗议活动。
美中对抗以及紧张关系进一步升级，中国政府宣布将对所谓在香港问题上表现恶劣的美国官员施加行政制裁。对此，美国国务卿蓬佩奥立刻反击，他表示，中共威胁报复再度暴露了北京政府如何拒绝为自己的选择承担责任。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
白宫国安会针对北京通过港版国安法也做出了回应。来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
在北京通过了港版的国安法之后，美国的国务院以及商务部都已经在星期一分别做出了回应。那么就在6月30号星期二的早上，我也询问了白宫国安会关于北京通过了港版国安法，白宫方面有何回应。对此呢，国安会的发言人约翰·尤利奥特就回应我说，他发出一个声明，当中说北京通过国安法违反了其对于中英联合声明的承诺，现在北京以一国一制来对待香港，美国将继续采取强力的行动对抗那些扼杀香港自由和自治的人，我们敦促北京即刻改弦更张。那么就在一个月前呢，6月29号，特朗普总统在白宫玫瑰园当中才刚表示过，他说实施港版的国安法不但违反了中英联合声明，也违反了基本法、香港的自治还有27年，这是香港人民、中国人民以及全世界的悲剧。北京的做法逆转了香港的安全和繁荣，扼杀了香港人民的自由，香港已经不再享有足够的自治。特朗普总统说呢，一国两制已经被一国一制取代，他就当时责令了他的政府部门来严令取消香港的特殊待遇地位，制裁某些中国以及香港的官员，同时呢也要国院重新审议前往香港的旅游建议。那么现在呢就通过了香港的国安法，白宫的国安会也发出了声明，希望中国能够改变他们的做法。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
一份新的研究报告显示，尽管美国存在政治两极化以及缺乏信任的问题，但是美国人仍然认为民主制度是最好的政府制度。不过，美国人对于民主制度的政策还有承诺，显现出了一些令人担忧的迹象。我们来看美国之音记者莫宇的报道。
非政府机构民主基金会选民研究组织发布的报告说，过去3年来，支持民主的美国人的比例保持稳定。87%的人认为民主政治制度是管理国家的善治方式，至少有80%的人认为生活在民主制度当中重要或非常重要，并有略超过3/4的人认为民主是最好的政府形式。但这份名为《民主也许威权主义态度在美国》的报告指出，在对相同受访者于2017年至2019年间做的3次问卷调查中，一些迹象令人担忧。报告说，虽然支持民主的美国人占绝大多数，但只有54%的人满意美国线下的民主运行方式。 报告还指出，虽然三年中持续支持威权主义的人数占比不到10%，但有1/4到2/3的美国人在其中某一次的问卷调查中表示过支持，比如认为强人领袖或军人统治是好的政府形式。报告还对即将到来的2020年总统大选做了基于现实的假设性调查。报告说，两党内都有比例显著的受访者质疑某些情况下的大选结果，比如在民主党方面，57%的人认为，如果有可行证据证明外国政府干预大选，那么要求重新选举是合适的。还有37%的人认为，该党候选人如果赢得普选票数，但是输了选举人团票，那么要求重新选举也是合适的。在共和党方面，则有29%的人认为，如有证据显示发生了非法投票的情况，特朗普总统拒绝卸任是合适的。报告还说，两党中有约10%的人表示，如果对方党派赢得大选，诉诸暴力至少有些许合理性。报告认为，将调查得出的这些数据置于当下的政治环境中来看，非常令人忧虑，尤其是美国目前经历严重的政治两极化，又面临严重的公共卫生和经济危机，还有广泛的反种族歧视抗议，而这些事件又都在大选年发生。
What we find is that the people who are most supportive of authoritarian leadership tend to be, you know, not super engaged politically. They're sort of your classic disaffected voter who feels like the system is kind of broken, but they don't follow it that closely.
不过他指出，虽然这部分人占比很小，但是放到全美2亿多选民的角度去看，人数仍然不少，足以可能成为令人担忧的爆发点。美国之音墨语华盛顿报道。
民调显示，美国总统特朗普正在失去老人们的支持，而4年前他们帮助共和党赢得了大选。
总统特朗普宣传他帮助美国老年人的努力，在白宫5月的一次活动上宣布了胰岛素价格上限。
That's a big deal. Participating plans will cap costs at just $35 a month.
前图森市长、民主党人托马斯·沃尔吉说，在佛罗里达州和亚利桑那州等选举战场州，老年人占选民的很大比例。
But even more importantly, people over 65 tend to turn out in larger numbers than any other group. So in that sense, it's not only the percentage of the public, but also the intensity with which they are likely to vote.
长期以来，民调显示，选民普遍支持特朗普处理经济的方式。但内乱、种族正义问题和新冠大流行导致民主党总统候选人乔·拜登的民调支持率有了很大增加。在一项民意调查中，特朗普在老年人中略微落后于拜登，在另外两项调查中至少落后8个百分点。白宫称最近的一些民调具有误导性，但一位民意测验专家说，存在着一种趋势。
He is not moving. Moving in the right direction, and you're looking at the clock ticking right now toward November.
许多老年人已经做出了决定，包括内布拉斯加州的这位选民。
I want a president who cares more about the people who reside here than himself, his businesses, his money, and winning an election.
但其他老年人支持总统。
I'm not agree 100% on what Trump has been doing.But he did, you know, maybe not everything was right. But he just emphasized, and he's the only politician so far I know, what he say during his campaign, he just execute his promise.
一个纽约人说，他看重诚信，并将投票给前副总统拜登。
I think the man there right now has no clue what he's doing.It's whatever he comes up with in the morning.
另一位特朗普的老年支持者说，拜登不能担任这一职位。
I think that he doesn't really have the stamina, and he has a lot of baggage that he's carrying. I don't think he's done much as a politician for all the years that he's been in there.
民调显示，拜登的领先率平均为10个百分点。拜登在全国民调中的支持率约为50%。
When a challenger reaches a 50% point, losing the election becomes very, very difficult for him. And from all accounts, it looks like Biden has now reached a 50% point.
未来几个月可能会发生很多变化。 民调并没有预测到特朗普最终在2016年总统大选中获胜。不会改变的是，美国老年人在决定谁赢得11月的胜利方面的重要性。美国之音奥沙利文，洛杉矶报道。新冠病毒大流行迫使企业重新评估他们的运营方式，而就业市场也在发生巨大的转变。裁员、减少工作时数、无薪假和无法预测的工作前景。 自从新冠病毒大流行袭击美国以来，超过4000万美国人已申请失业救济。不过，也有从这个危机中受益的。早在3月中旬，最大的在线零售商亚马逊宣布再雇佣10万人的计划。其他许多地方在找送货司机，而杂货店则一直需要员工。
We have gone to a mode where we're all shopping online, we're buying online, and I think that's probably going to continue. I don't think people are going to be anxious to get out to the stores anytime soon, and they've learned the convenience of it. So I think e-commerce is really going to continue to grow, and that means more jobs in that industry.
专家表示，在疫情结束后，对医务人员的需求也将急剧增加，因为越来越多的私营公司想要有公司内部的医生。 有些甚至在组建医疗部门，预计清洁服务的需求也会增加。在线交易和居家工作者的数量上升，对信息技术和高科技专家的需求也将水涨船高。据罗伯特·哈夫咨询公司高级执行董事保罗·麦克唐纳表示，有一些技能，像编码、数据分析以及对电子商务和银行界领域的知识，将会越来越抢手。
Technical support that goes along with that in those remote workforce as well. So remote technical support, as I mentioned, data privacy and security, highly valued business continuity experts in the tech arena. So that's technology. In the banking world, we've seen the demand for mortgage processors just pick up during this pandemic. Rates are still low, therefore mortgage refinancing is still very active. We've also seen loan processors be very much in demand.
因疫情大流行而制定的工作流程也将影响到后新冠时期的就业市场。根据盖洛普管理咨询公司的研究，在疫情期间，大约60%的美国人在家工作，而他们当中过半数希望在疫情过后继续在家工作。
New avenues for people who need that type of flexibility. So people with young children, people with disabilities or chronic illness, these type of folks who have been trying to get flexible work space for a long, long time and have kind of run up against a wall and employers resisting that. And now suddenly in the face of a pandemic, we suddenly realize, oh, well, maybe we can do it.
专家说，远程工作不仅可能对员工有利，对雇主也有利。在这种情况下，就业市场将很快进入真正的全球化阶段。If
you have a remote workforce, it creates an opportunity for you to recruit people wherever they may be. You're not bound by geography. You may be based in New York City, and you could have workers in Kansas City that are working for you.
在疫情过后，企业文化的整体观念将发生很多变化。
席卷全美的反种族抗议活动之中，一些有争议的雕像被推倒，而自从1939年以来一直矗立在纽约市美国自然历史博物馆前的西奥多·罗斯福雕像，如今也面临被推倒的命运。 1901年至1909年任职的美国第26任总统西奥多·罗斯福的这尊雕像，描绘的是这位总统骑在马背上，一名原住民和一名黑人和他站在一起。对于那些反对这座雕像的人来说，这座雕像暗示着殖民主义和白人至上的意涵。这是抗议者想要拆除的纽约市的几座雕像之一，也包括发现新大陆的哥伦布塑像。
Christopher Columbus being pedestalized and lionized like that is similar to Roosevelt being on a high horse. And we, just like he needs to come down off his high horse, we need to take Columbus off of his pedestal. Because he doesn't represent what this land was once representative of. This was the island of Manhattan.
I think a lot of people, it offends them because it's sort of like...You know, we act like we discovered this country first. There were humans living here for thousands of years, so we didn't discover anything, we took it.
纽约州长安德鲁·科莫希望留下这座雕像。他是已故州长马里奥·库莫的儿子，来自一个著名的纽约意大利裔美国家庭。
I understand the feelings about Christopher Columbus, some of his acts, which, nobody would support.But the statue has come to represent and signify, appreciation for the Italian-American contribution to New York. So for that reason, I support it.
其实，纽约人本身在拆除此类古迹时也感到矛盾。
Any of them, I don't care. If you're not for us, you're against us. Gotta go. Martin Luther King, we could put him on those. We could start over. Obama, we could start over.Take them all off. I mean, the way America was built regardless was wrong, and we got to start over again.
I think this is an absolutely terrible decision. Having been born in the Soviet Union, where statues and the history was rewritten, I'm absolutely against these types of decisions.
纽约市的规模很大，细心留意还会发现更多雕像，他们应该留下还是应该拆掉？即使在出现争议之前，纽约市市长白思豪和他的妻子就一直在考虑树立更多描绘妇女和有色人种的雕像。美国之音维什涅娃纽约报道。
在华盛顿特区，经过了几个星期激烈的抗议示威之后，标牌还有海报等物品被遗留下来。非洲裔美国人文化还有历史国家博物馆以及其他的一些史密森林学会的机构正在试图搜集并且保存这些材料。
由于乔治·弗洛伊德一个黑人之死，他们日复一日的抗议。弗洛伊德五月下旬在明尼苏达州警方管控之下死亡。示威者在白宫附近的临时围墙上张贴了几百张表达他们想法的海报和艺术品。
Pain and struggle oftentimes inspire some of the best art.And all these people are putting their thoughts, emotions, their recognition of this time in these little pieces, these little posters.
当围墙将被拆除的消息传出，城市员工和志愿者迅速赶来搜集遗留下来的东西，并且把它们移到马路对面加以保管。
When we first approached, we were surprised that we didn't see any signs on the fence as we did on television. And as we were further down, we could see that all of the signs were still here and preserved. And we're thankful for that because we still have the opportunity to see it.
华盛顿史密森林学会的非洲裔美国人历史与文化国家博物馆创建了一个快速反应收集小组。据策展人亚伦·布莱恩特说，他的目标是记录因弗洛伊德之死和其他被指控的警方暴行在美国和全世界所激发的社会抗议活动。
Behind those artifacts are real voices, real lived experiences, and a humanity, that we can all connect to.
No justice, no peace.
博物馆希望借这个机会就种族问题进行坦诚的对话。
Right now, in this very transformative period in our nation's history.We should require, and I would say demand, honest conversations around the unvarnished truth. It's the only way that we can progress as a collective humanity.
I hope to see this collage as a section in the Smithsonian National African American Museum someday.
名副其实的时代标志，也是历史的纪念品。美国之音记者塔博报道。
乔治·弗洛伊德不幸身亡的事件在美国各地还有海外都引发了抗议示威活动，而1960年代以来一些备受赞誉的电影揭示了非裔美国人所受的不公正的待遇，我们一起去看一看。
At any time during this evening, did it go through your mind that this was not a human being that you were beating?
丹林赛和 TJ 马丁的纪录片《1992年洛杉矶》记载了罗德尼金被洛杉矶警察殴打，以及1992年洛杉矶暴动的经过。
So LA 92 kind of tells a story of not just Rodney King, but it goes back and it examines kind of a police corruption and brutality in Los Angeles over a 20-year period that got us to LA 92.
The story of the Negro in America is the story of America. It is not a pretty story.
其他备受赞誉的纪录片强调的是黑人的命也是命运动期间的种族不公正的问题，其中之一是劳尔·派克导演的《我不是你的黑奴》，探讨在美国身为黑人意味着什么。另一部是艾娃·杜福奈的纪录片《第十三修正案》，是关于美国大批非洲裔美国人坐牢的问题。故事片也早在1960年代探讨种族不公正的问题。
I would probably start with the film from 1967, Sidney Poitier in the Heat of the Night. The famous scene in there, he of course plays a detective who comes from Philadelphia to help investigate a case down in Mississippi. And in the midst of his investigation, he encounters a Southern gentleman.Who, in the midst of the investigation, smacks him for being, I guess, too uppity. And Poitier smacks him back, which was probably the first time it was ever caught on film that there was this resistance.
Who told you to step on my sneakers? Who told you to walk on my side of the block? Who told you to be in my neighborhood? 1989年，斯派克里的《为所应为》说的是布鲁克林一个社区的种族紧张、冲突和警方暴力的问题，是种族分裂问题的第一批黑暗讽刺作品之一。这部电影鼓舞了新一代的非洲裔美国电影导演，进一步推动这方面的讨论。
You're gonna go to Frisco, right? To the fireworks?
2013年，电影《黑豹》的导演瑞安·库格勒发行了他的处女作故事片《弗鲁特维尔车站》。这部电影记录了22岁的非洲裔美国人奥斯卡·格兰特一生的最后一天。2009年新年，有人报案说拥挤的火车上有人打架。后来，奥斯卡在奥克兰市被地铁警察逮捕，一名警察用膝盖攻击奥斯卡的头部，另一名警察向他背部开枪打死了他。
Oscar was a human being, and he didn't make it home to people who he loved, and that's kind of a tragedy that can't really be fixed, you know, can't really be fixed with a settlement or with a.With the length of a sentence.
弗鲁特维尔车站一篇是2012年乔治·齐默尔曼枪杀非洲裔美国青少年特雷冯·马丁，引发了“黑人的命也是命”主题标签运动之后发行的。一年后，2014年，阿瓦·杜福奈的电影《塞尔玛》问世。这部纪录片叙述1965年由马丁·路德·金博士、荷西·阿·威廉姆斯和约翰·刘易斯带头，为争取投票权，从阿拉巴马州的塞尔玛到蒙哥马利的游行。这部电影上演时，民权领袖约翰·刘易斯把塞尔玛和黑人的命也是命运动相提并论。
Today, I think the young people and those not so young can learn from this film.They will learn not to give up, not to become bitter, never to hate, but to continue the struggle, because the struggle to redeem the soul of America is an ongoing struggle.
乔治·蒂尔曼2018年的电影《你给的仇恨》露骨地描绘一个黑人青少年因交通违规被拦下后遭到一名警官枪杀。这部电影引起全国观众和脱口秀的讨论。他们在谈美国的非洲裔家庭如何跟他们的儿子进行所谓的对话，关于一旦被警察拦下要如何回应以避免被枪杀的问题。电影里的事件是由16岁的黑人学生斯塔尔·卡特所见证的，他成为一次反抗警察活动的代言人。阿曼德拉·斯坦伯格扮演斯塔尔·卡克。
is, you know, there's video footage of these events happening, real time, you know, and we knew that this was going to be reflective of reality, and so I think that created a further weight in which we felt like it was our responsibility in order to honor these events and those who've been affected by it.
美国之音记者普劳，华盛顿报道。
学年的结束，家长们现在面临一个新的挑战，那就是如何度过孩子的假期。许多的夏令营现在并不开放。
家住维吉尼亚州的纳德日达·尼基弗罗娃是三个孩子的母亲，她一向非常仰赖夏令营，让孩子在学校放假期间过得开心。但今年特别不同，尤其是对她的大儿子来说。
лазят по горам, плавают на каяках, в общем, занимаются всевозможными экстримами поправки на возраст.
纳德日达在冬天支付了两个营地的费用，到目前为止，连一个也没有保证会在学校放假的时候开放。
I would say about 25% of our resident camps have made a definitive decision not to operate this summer, and the remainder of them.Either have decided that they can't decide yet, or they've decided and know that could change.
马里兰州蒙哥马利县当局已决定取消所有的夏令营，直到另行通知。要等该州解除封锁后，他们才会重新开放营区。
We didn't want to hold on to families' money. We knew right now is a critical time, so we decided that we would go ahead and cancel the current summer camp session and refund families' money back to them so that they could have that.
不过，当夏令营重新开放的时候，会有许多限制和许多新规定。
You know, having considerable distance between each camper's head, right? And also making sure that there's a specific distance between beds, right? Definitely contact sports not permitted.
Normally, it would probably be the two adults and 10 or 12 kids, and then they would get handed off to another adult or two for archery, and another adult or two for swimming, and another adult or two for zip lining. Now they will stay with the same couple of adults all the time.
戴口罩、被东西表面和房间进行消毒，以及量体温都将成为日常生活的一部分。夏令营需要时间来适应新现实，因此今年夏令营开始的时间可能会推迟。
While normally June is our heaviest month, and I honestly don't know if it actually is or not, so I don't want to say one way or the other, but I do know that we've moved a significant amount of our programs back to July and August.
不过，尽管有这些困难，美国营地协会相信，今年夏天有一些营地将会开放，而不是虚拟开放。
This summer, more than any summer ever, children need camp experiences when they will have the opportunity to spend time face to face, heart to heart.Head-to-head with other boys and girls to regain, you know, an opportunity to be curious and to be empathetic and human.
每年美国有15,000多个夏令营开放，超过2,000万个孩童在里面度过夏天。今年预期只有一小部分人会参加。美国之音记者巴卡雷茨，华盛顿报道。
好的，以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。 家好，今天是7月1号星期三，欢迎收看美国观察。美国政府表示说将停止向香港出口国防还有高科技产品，此外对于中国施加的高科技产品出口限制也将适用于香港。这一举措被认为是对中国强推港版国安法的回应。我们来看美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的报道。
由于无法区分美国对香港出口的防御设备以及军民两用技术是出口给了香港还是落入中国解放军的手中，基于美国的国家安全，美国政府星期一宣布停止对香港出口这些设备和技术。美国国务卿蓬佩奥在声明中表示，中共决定剥夺香港的自由，迫使特朗普政府重新评估对香港的政策。随着北京推进国家安全法的通过，美国从这个星期开始停止出口美国生产的防御装备。美国还将采取措施，在国防以及两用技术上对香港实施与中国大陆相同的限制。美国商务部也在一份声明中说，商务部暂停了给予香港特殊待遇的规定，其中包括出口许可豁免。中国星期二通过港版的国安法，这距离中国人大代表首次审议这项法案还不到两个星期。这一速度表明，在去年抗议活动的冲击后，中国总书记习近平迫切要求加紧对香港的控制。此外，将通过立法的时间点选在7月1号之前，也相当具有政治的意味。因为过去香港在回归纪念日这一天常常会爆发民主抗议活动。
美中对抗以及紧张关系进一步升级，中国政府宣布将对所谓在香港问题上表现恶劣的美国官员施加行政制裁。对此，美国国务卿蓬佩奥立刻反击，他表示中共威胁报复再度暴露了北京政府如何拒绝为自己的选择承担责任。以上是美国之音常驻国务院记者张荣香的采访报道。
白宫国安会针对北京通过港版国安法也做出了回应，来看美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅的报道。
在北京通过了港版的国安法之后，美国的国务院以及商务部都已经在星期一分别做出了回应。那么就在6月30号星期二的早上，我也询问了白宫国安会关于北京通过了港版国安法，白宫方面有何回应。对此呢，国安会的发言人约翰·尤利奥特就回应我说，他发出一个声明，当中说北京通过国安法违反了其对于中英联合声明的承诺，现在北京以一国一制来对待香港，美国将继续采取强力的行动对抗那些扼杀香港自由和自治的人，我们敦促北京即刻改弦更张。那么就在一个月前呢，6月29号，特朗普总统在白宫玫瑰园当中才刚表示过，他说实施港版的国安法不但违反了中英联合声明，也违反了基本法、香港的自治还有27年，这是香港人民、中国人民以及全世界的悲剧。北京的做法逆转了香港的安全和繁荣，扼杀了香港人民的自由，香港已经不再享有足够的自治。特朗普总统说呢，一国两制已经被一国一制取代，他就当时责令了他的政府部门来严令取消香港的特殊待遇地位，制裁某些中国以及香港的官员，同时呢也要国务院重新审议前往香港的旅游建议。那么现在呢就通过了香港的国安法，白宫的国安会也发出了声明，希望中国能够改变他们的做法。以上是美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅发自白宫的报道。
一份新的研究报告显示，尽管美国存在政治两极化以及缺乏信任的问题，但是美国人仍然认为民主制度是最好的政府制度。不过，美国人对于民主制度的政策还有承诺，显现出了一些令人担忧的迹象。我们来看美国之音记者莫宇的报道。
非政府机构民主基金会选民研究组织发布的报告说，过去3年来，支持民主的美国人的比例保持稳定。87%的人认为民主政治制度是管理国家的善治方式，至少有80%的人认为生活在民主制度当中重要或非常重要，另有略超过3/4的人认为民主是最好的政府形式。但这份名为《民主也许威权主义态度在美国》的报告指出，在对相同受访者于2017年至2019年间做的3次问卷调查中，一些迹象令人担忧。报告说，虽然支持民主的美国人占绝大多数，但只有54%的人满意美国线下的民主运行方式。
报告还指出，虽然三年中持续支持威权主义的人数占比不到10%，但有1/4到2/3的美国人在其中某一次的问卷调查中表示过支持，比如认为强人领袖或军人统治是好的政府形式。报告还对即将到来的2020年总统大选做了基于现实的假设性调查。报告说，两党内都有比例显著的受访者质疑某些情况下的大选结果，比如在民主党方面，57%的人认为，如果有可行证据证明外国政府干预大选，那么要求重新选举是合适的。还有37%的人认为，该党候选人如果赢得普选票数，但是输了选举人团票，那么要求重新选举也是合适的。在共和党方面，则有29%的人认为，如有证据显示发生了非法投票的情况，特朗普总统拒绝卸任是合适的。报告还说，两党中有约10%的人表示，如果对方党派赢得大选，诉诸暴力至少有些许合理性。报告认为，将调查得出的这些数据置于当下的政治环境中来看，非常令人忧虑，尤其是美国目前经历严重的政治两极化，又面临严重的公共卫生和经济危机，还有广泛的反种族歧视抗议，而这些事件又都在大选年发生。
What we find is that the people who are most supportive of authoritarian leadership tend to be, you know, not super engaged politically. They're sort of your classic disaffected voter who feels like the system is kind of broken, but they don't follow it that closely.
不过他指出，虽然这部分人占比很小，但是放到全美2亿多选民的角度去看，人数仍然不少，足以可能成为令人担忧的爆发点。美国之音墨语，华盛顿报道。
民调显示，美国总统特朗普正在失去老人们的支持，而4年前他们帮助共和党赢得了大选。
总统特朗普宣传他帮助美国老年人的努力，在白宫五月的一次活动上宣布了胰岛素价格上限。
That's a big deal. Participating plans will cap costs at just $35 a month.
前图森市长、民主党人托马斯·沃尔吉说，在佛罗里达州和亚利桑那州等选举战场州，老年人占选民的很大比例。
But even more importantly, people over 65 tend to turn out in larger numbers than any other group. So in that sense, it's not only the percentage of the public, but also the intensity with which they are likely to vote.
长期以来，民调显示，选民普遍支持特朗普处理经济的方式。但内乱、种族正义问题和新冠大流行导致民主党总统候选人乔拜登的民调支持率有了很大增加。在一项民意调查中，特朗普在老年人中略微落后于拜登，在另外两项调查中至少落后8个百分点。白宫称最近的一些民调具有误导性，但一位民意测验专家说，存在着一种趋势。
He is not movingMoving in the right direction, and you're looking at the clock ticking right now toward November.
许多老年人已经做出了决定，包括内布拉斯加州的这位选民。
I want a president who cares more about the people who reside here than himself, his businesses, his money, and winning an election.
但其他老年人支持总统。
I'm not agree 100% on what Trump has been doing.But he did, you know, maybe not everything was right. But he just emphasized, and he's the only politician so far I know, what he say during his campaign, he just execute his promise.
一个纽约人说，他看重诚信，并将投票给前副总统拜登。
I think the man there right now has no clue what he's doing.It's whatever he comes up with in the morning.
另一位特朗普的老年支持者说，拜登不能担任这一职位。
I think that he doesn't really have the stamina. He has a lot of baggage that he's carrying. I don't think he's done much as a politician for all the years that he's been in there.
民调显示，拜登的领先率平均为10个百分点。拜登在全国民调中的支持率约为50%。
When a challenger reaches a 50% point, losing the election becomes very, very difficult for him. And from all accounts, it looks like Biden has now reached a 50% point.
未来几个月可能会发生很多变化。 民调并没有预测到特朗普最终在2016年总统大选中获胜。不会改变的是，美国老年人在决定谁赢得11月的胜利方面的重要性。美国之音奥沙利文，洛杉矶报道。
新冠病毒大流行迫使企业重新评估他们的运营方式，而就业市场也在发生巨大的转变。
裁员、减少工作时数、无薪假和无法预测的工作前景。自从新冠病毒大流行袭击美国以来，超过4000万美国人已申请失业救济。不过，也有从这个危机中受益的。早在3月中旬，最大的在线零售商亚马逊宣布再雇佣10万人的计划。其他许多地方在找送货司机，而杂货店则一直需要员工。
We have gone to a mode where we're all shopping online, we're buying online, and I think that's probably going to continue. I don't think people are going to be anxious to get out to the stores anytime soon, and they've learned the convenience of it. So I think e-commerce is really going to continue to grow, and that means more jobs in that industry.
专家表示，在疫情结束后，对医务人员的需求也将急剧增加，因为越来越多的私营公司想要有公司内部的医生，有些甚至在组建医疗部门，预计清洁服务的需求也会增加。在线交易和居家工作者的数量上升，对信息技术和高科技专家的需求也将水涨船高。据罗伯特·哈夫咨询公司高级执行董事保罗·麦克唐纳表示。 有一些技能，像编码、数据分析以及对电子商务和银行界领域的知识，将会越来越抢手。
Technical support that goes along with that in those individual those remote workforce as well. So remote technical support, as I mentioned, data privacy and security highly valued. Business continuity experts in the tech arena. So that's technology. In the banking world. We've seen the demand for mortgage processors just pick up during this pandemic. Rates are still low, therefore mortgage refinancing and is still very active. We've also seen loan processors be very much in demand.
因疫情大流行而制定的工作流程也将影响到后新冠时期的就业市场。 根据盖洛普管理咨询公司的研究，在疫情期间，大约60%的美国人在家工作，而他们当中过半数希望在疫情过后继续在家工作。
New avenues for people who need that type of flexibility. So people with young children, people with disabilities or chronic illness, these type of folks who have been trying to get flexible work space for a long, long time and have kind of run up against a wall and employers. Resisting that, and now suddenly, in the face of a pandemic, we suddenly realize, oh well, maybe we can do it.
专家说，远程工作不仅可能对员工有利，对雇主也有利。在这种情况下，就业市场将很快进入真正的全球化阶段。If
you have a remote workforce, it creates an opportunity for you to recruit people wherever they may be. You're not bound by geography. You may be based in New York City, and you could have workers in Kansas City that are working for you.
在疫情过后，企业文化的整体观念将发生很多变化。对于全球数以百万计的人来说，才几个月就把办公室、教室和家的想法融为一体，而且对很多人来说，可能会一直保持下去。美国之音记者狄古茨，华盛顿报道。
全美的反种族抗议活动之中，一些有争议的雕像被推倒，而自从1939年以来一直矗立在纽约市美国自然历史博物馆前的西奥多·罗斯福雕像，如今也面临被推倒的命运。
1901年至1909年任职的美国第26任总统西奥多·罗斯福的这尊雕像，描绘的是这位总统骑在马背上，一名原住民和一名黑人和他站在一起。对于那些反对这座雕像的人来说，这座雕像暗示着殖民主义和白人至上的意涵。这是抗议者想要拆除的纽约市的几座雕像之一，也包括发现新大陆的哥伦布塑像。
Christopher Columbus being pedestalized and lionized like that is similar to Roosevelt being on a high horse. And we, just like he needs to come down off his high horse, we need to take Columbus off of his pedestal. Because he doesn't represent what this land was once representative of. This was the island of Manhattan.
I think a lot of people, it offends them because it's sort of like, you know, we act like we discovered this country first. There were humans living here for thousands of years, so we didn't discover anything, we took it.
纽约州长安德鲁·科莫希望留下这座雕像。他是已故州长马里奥·库莫的儿子，来自一个著名的纽约意大利裔美国家庭。
I understand the feelings about Christopher Columbus some of his acts, which nobody would support. But the statue has come to represent and signify appreciation for the Italian-American contribution to New York. For that reason, I support it.
其实，纽约人本身在拆除此类古迹时也感到矛盾。
Any of them, I don't care. If you're not for us, you're against us. Gotta go. Martin Luther King, we can put him on those. We can start over. Obama, we can start over. Take them all off. I mean, the way America was built regardless was wrong, and we got to start over again.
I think this is an absolutely terrible decision. Having been born in the Soviet Union, where statues and the history was rewritten, I'm absolutely against these types of decisions.
纽约市的规模很大，细心留意还会发现更多雕像，他们应该留下还是应该拆掉？即使在出现争议之前，纽约市市长白思豪和他的妻子就一直在考虑树立更多描绘妇女和有色人种的雕像。美国之音维什涅娃纽约报道。
在华盛顿特区，经过了几个星期激烈的抗议示威之后，标牌还有海报等物品被遗留下来。非洲裔美国人文化还有历史国家博物馆以及其他的一些史密森林学会的机构正在试图搜集并且保存这些材料。
由于乔治·弗洛伊德一个黑人之死，他们日复一日的抗议。弗洛伊德五月下旬在明尼苏达州警方管控之下死亡。示威者在白宫附近的临时围墙上张贴了几百张表达他们想法的海报和艺术品。
Pain and struggle oftentimes inspires some of the best art, and all these people are putting their thoughts, emotions, their recognition of this time in these little pieces, these little posters.
当围墙将被拆除的消息传出，城市员工和志愿者迅速赶来搜集遗留下来的东西，并且把它们移到马路对面加以保管。
When we first approached, we were surprised that we didn't see any signs on the fence as we did on television. And as we were further down, we could see that all of the signs were still here and preserved. And we're thankful for that because we still have the opportunity to see it.
华盛顿史密森林学会的非洲裔美国人历史与文化国家博物馆创建了一个快速反应收集小组。据策展人亚伦·布莱恩特说，他的目标是记录因弗洛伊德之死和其他被指控的警方暴行在美国和全世界所激发的社会抗议活动。
Behind those artifacts are real voices, real lived experiences, and a humanity.That we can all connect to.
No justice, no peace.
博物馆希望借这个机会就种族问题进行坦诚的对话。
Right now, in this very transformative period in our nation's history, we should require, and I would say demand, honest conversations around the unvarnished truth. It's the only way that we can progress as a collective humanity.
I hope to see this.collage as a section in the Smithsonian National African American Museum someday.
名副其实的时代标志，也是历史的纪念品。美国之音记者塔博报道。
乔治·弗洛伊德不幸身亡的事件在美国各地还有海外都引发了抗议示威活动，而1960年代以来一些备受赞誉的电影揭示了非裔美国人所受的不公正的待遇，我们一起去看一看。
At any time during this evening, did it go through your mind that this was not a human being that you were beating?
丹·林赛和 T.J. 马丁的纪录片《1992年洛杉矶》记载了罗德尼金被洛杉矶警察殴打，以及1992年洛杉矶暴动的经过。
So L.A. 92 kind of tells the story of not just Rodney King, but it goes back and it examines kind of a police corruption and brutality in Los Angeles over a 20-year period that got us to L.A. 92.
The story of the Negro in America is the story of America. It is not a pretty story.
其他备受赞誉的纪录片强调的是黑人的命也是命运动期间的种族不公正的问题。其中之一是劳尔·派克导演的《我不是你的黑奴》，探讨在美国身为黑人意味着什么。另一部是艾娃·杜福奈的纪录片《第十三修正案》，是关于美国大批非洲裔美国人坐牢的问题。故事片也早在1960年代探讨种族不公正的问题。
I would probably start with the film from 1967, Sidney Poitier in the Heat of the Night. The famous scene in there, he of course plays a detective who comes from Philadelphia to help investigate a case down in Mississippi. And in the midst of his investigation, he encounters a Southern gentleman who, in the midst of the investigation, smacks him for being, I guess, too uppity. And Poitier smacks him back, which was probably the first time it was ever caught on film that there was this resistance.
Who told you to step on my sneakers? Who told you to walk on my side of the block? Who told you to be in my neighborhood?1989年，斯派克里的《为所应为》说的是布鲁克林一个社区的种族紧张、冲突和警方暴力的问题，是种族分裂问题的第一批黑暗讽刺作品之一。这部电影鼓舞了新一代的非洲裔美国电影导演，进一步推动这方面的讨论。
We're gonna go to Frisco, right? See the fireworks?
Hmm?
2013年，电影《黑豹》的导演瑞安·库格勒发行了他的处女作故事片《弗鲁特维尔车站》。这部电影记录了22岁的非洲裔美国人奥斯卡·格兰特一生的最后一天。2009年新年，有人报案说拥挤的火车上有人打架，后来奥斯卡在奥克兰市被地铁警察逮捕，一名警察用膝盖攻击奥斯卡的头部，另一名警察向他背部开枪打死了他。
Oscar was a human being, and he didn't make it home to people who he loved, and that's kind of a tragedy that can't really be fixed, you know, can't really be fixed with a settlement or with the length of a sentence.
弗鲁特维尔车站一篇是2012年乔治·齐默尔曼枪杀非洲裔美国青少年特雷冯·马丁，引发了黑人的命也是命主题标签运动之后发行的。一年后，2014年。阿瓦杜福奈的电影《塞尔玛问世》，这部纪录片叙述1965年由马丁·路德·金博士、荷西阿·威廉姆斯和约翰·刘易斯带头为争取投票权从阿拉巴马州的塞尔玛到蒙哥马利的游行。这部电影上演时，民权领袖约翰·刘易斯把塞尔玛和黑人的命也是命运动相提并论。
Today I think the young people and those not so youngcan learn from this film. They will learn not to give up, not to become bitter, never to hate, but to continue the struggle, because the struggle to redeem the soul of America is an ongoing struggle.
乔治·蒂尔曼2018年的电影《你给的仇恨》露骨地描绘一个黑人青少年因交通违规被拦下后遭到一名警官枪杀。这部电影引起全国观众和脱口秀的讨论，他们在谈美国的非洲裔家庭如何跟他们的儿子进行所谓的对话，关于一旦被警察拦下要如何回应以避免被枪杀的问题。电影里的事件是由16岁的黑人学生斯塔尔·卡特所见证的，他成为一次反抗警察活动的代言人。阿曼德拉·斯坦伯格扮演斯塔尔·卡克。
is, you know, there's video footage of these events happening, real time, you know, and we knew that this was going to be reflective of reality. And so I think that created a further weight in which we felt like it was our responsibility in order to honor these events and those who've been affected by it.
美国之音记者普劳，华盛顿报道。
结束，家长们现在面临一个新的挑战，那就是如何度过孩子的假期。许多的夏令营现在并不开放。
家住维吉尼亚州的纳德日达·尼西弗罗娃是三个孩子的母亲，她一向非常仰赖夏令营，让孩子在学校放假期间过得开心。但今年特别不同，尤其是对她的大儿子来说。
лазят по горам, плавают на каяках, в общем, занимаются всевозможными экстримами поправки на возраст.
纳德日达在冬天支付了两个营地的费用，到目前为止，连一个也没有保证会在学校放假的时候开放。
I would say about 25% of our resident camps have made a definitive decision not to operate this summer, and the remainder of them.Either have decided that they can't decide yet, or they've decided and know that could change.
马里兰州蒙哥马利县当局已决定取消所有的夏令营，直到另行通知。要等该州解除封锁后，他们才会重新开放营区。
We didn't want to hold on to families' money. We knew right now is a critical time, so we decided that we would go ahead and cancel the current summer camp session and refund families' money back to them so that they could have that.
不过，当夏令营重新开放的时候，会有许多限制和许多新规定。
You know, having considerable distance between each camper's head, right? And also making sure that there's a specific distance between beds, right? Definitely contact sports not permitted.
Normally, it would probably be the two adults and 10 or 12 kids, and then they would get handed off to another adult or two for archery, and another adult or two for swimming, and another adult or two for zip lining. Now they will stay with the same couple of adults all the time.
戴口罩，为东西表面和房间进行消毒，以及量体温都将成为日常生活的一部分。夏令营需要时间来适应新现实，因此今年夏令营开始的时间可能会推迟。
While normally June is our heaviest month, and I honestly don't know if it actually is or not, so I don't want to say one way or the other, but I do know that we've moved a significant amount of our programs back to July and August.
不过，尽管有这些困难，美国营地协会相信，今年夏天有一些营地将会开放，而不是虚拟开放。
This summer, more than any summer ever, children need camp experiences when they...will have the opportunity to spend time face to face, heart to heart, head to head with other boys and girls, to regain, you know, an opportunity to be curious and to be empathetic and human.
每年美国有15,000多个夏令营开放，超过2,000万个孩童在里面度过夏天。今年预计只有一小部分人会参加。美国之音记者巴卡雷茨，华盛顿报道。
好的。以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们明天节目再见。